thankful for another opportunity to be able to share a message from God's word this morning. I'd like to invite you guys to just turn to our passage in John chapter 20. And I'm going to be reading from verse 19 to verse 21. And we're not going to spend the majority of our time in this passage. If anything, this is going to be the verse that we use to launch us into the topic of what we're going to be talking about this morning. So it's John chapter 20, verses 19 to 21. And if you're using the blue ESV Bible in the pew in front of you, it's on page 906. So John chapter 20, verses 19, I'm going to read to 21. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." This is God's word. I'm just going to spend some time in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would just be in awe of your glory. Lord, I thank you for your holiness, Lord. I pray that we would be in awe of who you are. Lord, I pray that you would incline our hearts to you. Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts, our affections, Lord, that our affections would be for Christ this morning. Lord, I pray that we would remember that nothing in this world can satisfy apart from Jesus. Lord, as I prayed before, it truly is just a gift to be able to gather together as a church family. Lord, I pray that this morning, as just share from your word, Lord, as we talk about what it means to evangelize. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we have come to understand, Lord, the need to just be bold for you, the need to go and share the gospel with those around us. Father, I just thank you for the beautiful treasure and gift that we have in Jesus, that in how you sent your Son to take our place, Lord, on the cross, the place that we deserve for our sins, and yet he took our place, bearing our sins, Lord, and that through him, because of his death and resurrection, that as we put our faith in him, we are a new creation, our sins are forgiven. Therefore, there is no condemnation anymore, Lord, because of what Christ has done. And Father, I pray that we would realize this treasure that we have in you, Father, and just that as we know the truth, Lord, and the reality of just being saved, I pray, Lord, that we would see those around us in the context of our everyday lives who don't know you, Lord, who are not living for you, Father, whose eternity is different than ours. And I just pray, Lord, that we would have, that you would move our heart for them, Lord, and that as we know that what we have in you, that we would desire that they would come to know who Christ is, Lord, and that that you would draw them to yourself and that they would be saved. And I pray, Lord, that we would just see, that we would just be discerning and praying for opportunities, Lord, that you would have for us to be able to share your name, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, as I speak this morning, I just pray for those who are listening who would just be able to just hear a better sermon than I am able to preach. And I thank you for this opportunity. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, I'd like to just provide some context to where the disciples are in this passage. 3 days have passed since Jesus had been crucified and buried in a tomb. Early in the day, the disciples had heard the news that Jesus was alive. And now in the evening of the same day, having locked themselves in a room out of fear of the Jews, Jesus appeared to them with a friendly greeting of peace. Jesus lovingly calms their fears through his appearance. He's allowing them to process that he truly is alive. He lets them touch his side and shows them his hands. And after this, they came to realize that this truly was Jesus, and in that they rejoiced. In the Jesus giving them his peace, he commissions them to be his representatives and messengers by giving them the task of spreading the gospel message of salvation throughout the world. And this is the same commissioning language from Jesus in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And I'd invite you guys to just turn in your Bibles over to Matthew 28, 18 to 20, as I'm going to be referencing it throughout the sermon. So Matthew 28:18-20 says this. These are Jesus' words. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And essentially here, Jesus is commanding his disciples to go and evangelize. The Great Commission Collective has six distinctives that reflect the kind of churches that they desire to plant and build. And as a church, over the last couple of weeks, we've been going through a series on the local church, and we've been using the Great Commission's Collective's distinctives as our guide for the series. And last week, you would have heard, if you were here with us, you heard Mark talk about purposeful discipleship, and the week before that was bold preaching, and there's a few others. But the six distinctives linked together carry out their mission for the GCC and is biblically in line with God's mission for the local church. The distinctive I will be speaking on today is their fifth one, and that is on courageous evangelism. The following example was given by a pastor within the GCC. I want you to visualize the different ministry areas in our church as buckets filled with water. We have a worship bucket, a preaching bucket, a discipleship bucket, a missions bucket, and then the list goes on. But there are two buckets that are leaky buckets, and the reason that they leak is because there's holes in them. But those two buckets are prayer and evangelism. All these buckets, these ministry areas, are capable of leaking. However, those two tend to leak the most. As a church, if we don't give special attention or care to keep these buckets full, they will continue to leak. So again, the leaky bucket that I'll be focusing on here is evangelism. And the following is an article posted by Christianity Today on evangelism here in Canada. And this is what they say. According to a recent survey conducted by Alpha Canada and the Flourishing Congregations Institute, 65% of church leaders say that evangelism hasn't been a priority for their congregation over the last several years. 55% say their congregations do not equip Christians to share their faith. Historically, about 10% of Canadians have considered themselves evangelical. Today, according to the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada's quadrennial census, only 6% of Canadians are evangelical. And these are the lowest numbers on record. And let's be honest with each other. Raise your hand if you find evangelism hard. I know from my own life that I find it hard as well. There have been multiple times in my own life where God has prompted me to share the gospel with someone. However, in the majority of those times, I'm one to admit that I shied away from having those conversations. But only by his grace and work in me was I able to share the gospel when prompted at certain times in my life. But so our main idea for today is from the GCC statement on courageous evangelism. Evangelism is gospel proclamation that overcomes fear in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, evangelism is gospel proclamation that overcomes fear in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So our outline, if you're here last week, Mark said that the outline would probably be the same for this Sunday, and he was right. We're doing the same outline as we've doing with the series, and probably will for the next couple of weeks. We're going to look at, this is what evangelism is, this is what we do, so what we do as Grace Church, this is what we hope to do in the future, and this is what we hope you do. So this is what it is. How do we define evangelism? The author of the book, Nine Marks on Evangelism, says this. Evangelism is teaching, so that is heralding, proclaiming, the gospel, the message from God that leads us to salvation, with the aim, hope, desire, goal to persuade, convince, convert. Simply put, evangelism is sharing the gospel message of salvation with the hope that people would convert to Christ. With this definition in mind, let me ask you this. How did you come to know and believe in Christ? Who did you hear the gospel from? From a parent, a spouse, friend, maybe it was a coworker, or a sermon? Who was the significant person that God used to lead you to him? In Romans 10:14-15, Paul considers the series of events that need to happen for a person to be saved. He says this, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Paul is bringing our attention to how a person gets saved. First, through hearing the message of salvation, then coming to believe in Jesus, to then the person calling on God to save them. However, there can be no call, no belief, no hearing, unless there are those who are sent to share the gospel message of salvation, the good news about Jesus. Those who are sent with the mission to evangelize. Again, I ask you this. Who is the significant person that God sent to you to share the gospel message of salvation? We will now look at what evangelism is and what it is not. It is the gospel message of salvation. What it's not complicated. God made the message of the gospel accessible to all people so that even a child can understand and be saved. We don't need to complicate things by relying on events, programs, or elaborate words to win people over. We are called to share the good news of salvation. That apart from Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are eternally condemned. Yet although we were still sinners, out of God's love, he sent his Son, Jesus, to die for us, the punishment that we deserve. See, when we put our faith in Jesus, we become a new creation, saved by his grace, forgiven for our sins, and given everlasting life. And this passage, John 3:16, which I'm sure most of us are familiar with, sums it up really nicely for us, saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, will have eternal life. And even your sharing your testimony of how you got saved is an excellent way of sharing the gospel with someone. What it is courageous. It is not fearful. It is bold. It is not timid. It is a love for the lost. It is not done out of obligation. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, Paul says that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul himself reflected God's desire for people to be saved in his very own heart for the lost. In Romans 10, 1, saying this, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. So evangelism is done out of a heart for the lost. What it is Jesus' command. What is not? It's not an option. Looking back to the passage, Matthew 28:18-20 on the Great Commission, the imperative here, the command in the text, is to make disciples. Jesus isn't making this an option for us to choose to do this if we feel like it or not. He wants us to step out in faith, knowing that he is with us as we are obedient to his command. What it is also done through discipleship. Discipleship is one of the key components of evangelism. When you take the time to study and observe Jesus' earthly ministry with his disciples, we notice how intentional he was with the 12. He brought them along everywhere he went so that they could observe his actions and his words. He taught them how they are to conduct themselves in ministry and how they are to evangelize, how they are to go out into the world and share the good news about Jesus. And as Jesus disciples the 12, he teaches them how to make disciples who also make disciples. Jesus models to us that to be effective in evangelism, we must be willing to be discipled ourselves and taught to carry out the task of sharing the gospel, as the disciples were taught by Jesus with the task of going out to share the gospel. In turn, we should also be willing to disciple and teach others to evangelize. See, when someone gets saved, our work doesn't stop there either. We don't just check the box that we did our part and now leave this new believer in the dust. That is where discipleship also matters. We are to walk alongside our new brother or sister to teach them more about the gospel and teach them the implications of the gospel and how we are to conduct ourselves as Christians. So again, evangelism is done through discipleship. Finally, evangelism is done through prayer. We will fail in our efforts to evangelize if we fail to see the need to pray. Dr. E. Coleman, in his book on evangelism, says this, thereafter, he, Jesus, emphasized the life of prayer again and again when talking with his disciples, continually enlarging on its meaning and application as they were able to comprehend deeper realities of his Spirit. It was an indispensable part of their training, which in turn they would have to transmit to others. One thing is certain, unless they grasp the meaning of prayer and learn how to practice it with consistency, not much would ever come from their lives. We can't expect to be effective in evangelism if we are not disciplined in prayer. This is true of multiple areas in our lives. Be men and women who pray. Pray that God will provide opportunities to share the gospel. Pray that he, by his Spirit, will help you in what to say. Pray for the salvation of the person that you are sharing the gospel with. God is listening and is faithful to answer our prayers. Ultimately, it is not God who saves. It is God who saves people. Salvation is a gift from him. We are the vessels in which he has chosen to bring his message of salvation to others. He knows that this is a task that we are unable to do alone. In our obedience to his command to share the gospel, we are to seek him in prayer and trust in his power to draw people to himself. For us, in our own strength, this is an impossible task, but with God, all things are possible. This is why Paul can say boldly in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Evangelism is done through prayer. Now I'm going to move into what do we do at Grace Church when it comes to evangelism. Within Grace Church, there are a few ways in which we strive to create opportunities where we can effectively share the gospel within our local communities. We planted Grace Church out in Enderby in the fall of last year, and by God's kindness and grace, God has used the church to provide opportunities for us to do outreach in the community of Enderby. One of the ways that Mark and I have been doing this is by volunteering at a seniors' lunch in Enderby, held at the senior center where we meet for our church service on Sundays. We were asked to pray for the meals when we were there, and through conversations, we have had locals express an interest in coming to check out our church, and for that, we are thankful, and we just invite you guys to just please be praying for us as we continue to serve in the community of Enderby. Another way we have created an opportunity to evangelize has been through the Mom and Tots program within our church. We are already seeing the fruit of this ministry, with some unsaved moms attending and seeking fellowship. Here's an excellent opportunity for the gospel to be shared with these moms who don't know Jesus, and my hope is that you will remember Alex in your prayers as she leads this ministry. For a while now, Mark has gone out once a month as a chaplain at the Kamloops Regional Correction Center. Through his ministry, Mark has had multiple opportunities to preach the gospel and be a light to these inmates there. And I won't speak for Mark, but it is my understanding that it is a very dark and spiritually oppressive environment to be in. Yet through this his time there have been a couple guys who have come to believe and put their faith in Christ. So please be praying for Mark as he faithfully goes to share the gospel to these men. And when we meet at our elders' meetings, we pray for the people that we know who are unsaved that have become connected with Grace Church. We are praying that there will be more creative ways and opportunities to spread the gospel to the cities of Salmon Arm and to Enderby. Now, this is what we hope to do in the future at Grace Church. We hope to be more intentional in our relationships. We hope to continue seeking and creating opportunities to encounter people. We hope to be more fervent in our prayer, and we hope to create a culture of evangelism. J. Max Stiles says this towards having a culture of evangelism within your church. It is a culture of evangelism that is not ultimately dependent on events, projects, programs, and ministry professionals. Instead, it is a culture of evangelism that is built on people filled with the power of God's Spirit, proclaiming the gospel of God's grace in the context of their everyday lives and relationships. And this is what we hope to pray towards here at Grace Church, that we would have a culture of evangelism within our church. And this is what we hope you do in light of that. And this is also going to be our takeaway for today. We hope that as a church body, you will pray that God will provide opportunities where we can share the message of the gospel. In your bulletin, I have provided an insert. It should be like a green looking like bookmark. If you aren't able to get one, there should be some at the front, or we can print more. And if you want more, you can reach out to me. And it says on there, "Who will you pray for?" And then on the back, it's got lines on it, so you can write some names down. My challenge to all of us, and this is myself included, it's on my heart to take part in this as well, is to pray that God will bring three people to our minds who are in our lives who are not saved. Whether it is a coworker, a friend, a family member, or someone in the context of your everyday life, pray that God would bring three people to your mind. And then write their names on this bookmark, on this insert. Pray that God would provide opportunities to share the gospel with these people. God is faithful to answer this prayer. and be intentional to follow up with these people as well. Also, this isn't to be done alone. Be praying for one another in this. The enemy doesn't want the gospel to spread. He would rather have us be complacent, idle, and apathetic towards those who are in need of a relationship with Christ. We need each other in this pursuit. The enemy will do all he can to discourage the growth of God's kingdom. We need accountability and encouragement from our fellow Christians. And most importantly, we need the help of Christ in the Spirit. Without him, our efforts are fruitless. We can do nothing in our own strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the message of the gospel, Lord, the message of salvation. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the command that you have given us to go and make disciples of all nations. Father, I pray that we truly would just see this as a command and not just dismiss this as an option or something, Lord, that we would just dismiss and only do if we feel like it or not. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just leave the task of sharing the good news with those around us just to either ministry professionals, Lord, or just through events or other means, Lord, and just say that it's not for me. But Lord, rather, I just pray that you would convict our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would convict us in those moments, Lord, either when we're at work with a family member or just someone we know who does not know you, Lord. I pray that you would prompt us, Lord, to share the gospel in those moments. And I pray that in those times, Lord, that we would realize that we are not alone, Lord, for that in your word, that in your great and precious promises, Lord, that you promise that you go before us. Lord, that you are faithful, Lord, to answer our prayers. That when we call upon you, Lord, to help us, Lord, to be with what the words to say and how to say it, Lord, that you're faithful to answer those prayers. And Father, as I think of Moses as well, who back in the day just struggled with having to go and just share the message, Lord, that you were calling him to speak, and when you said to him, Lord, who is it that created man's mouth? Lord, and I pray that that would be a reminder, Lord, that it is you who created our mouths, and in that, Lord, that you have the power to provide us the words to say. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that in this, Lord, that we would be just in awe of you. And in our awe of you, Lord, and as our affections are for you, that we truly would see the treasure that we have in Jesus, Lord. And that even that we would just remember and look back on our own lives, Lord, and how you drawed us to yourself, Lord. That we would look back at and be thankful for the person, Lord, and who you sent to us. Whatever means that it may be, Lord, that they saw us as willing, Lord, to go and share the gospel, that we needed a Savior, and that I thank you, Lord, that you sent them to share the gospel to us and that we came to know you. And Father, I just pray that we would remember, Lord, that your work in our lives, as we look back and just see your faithfulness, Lord, through how you just answered our prayers, you've guided us, Lord, you've given us Jesus, and I just thank you for the hope that we do have in you, Lord. Not be idle or complacent or apathetic towards those around us. And Father, I pray that we would invite each other in this to pray as a church body. Lord, I pray that we would be praying as a church to go out into the needs of the community here in Salmon Arm and into the needs of Enderby. And I pray that as a church body, we'd be praying for the church in Enderby as well, that they would have a desire to go and share the good news to the community of Enderby. And likewise for them, praying for us that we desire to share the good news of Jesus to the community of Salmon Arm. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your good and precious promises, Lord, that are within your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would that you would just bind them to our hearts, Lord, as we go from here. And trust that we can go out boldly, Lord, because of your power at work in us. And I thank you, Lord, that even at that passage we read in John 20, Lord, that as Jesus came to his disciples saying, "Peace be with you, receive the Holy Spirit," that we remember, Lord, that when we became saved, that you have given us the promise of your Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit resides inside of us, Lord, that no matter where we go, we are not alone, for you are within us, Lord, and I thank you for that. And it is the Holy Spirit who will guide and help us to evangelize and help us in the mission, Lord, and task to go and share the good news about Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for this morning. And I pray that we would be intentional with the little handouts, Lord, with just who to be praying for, that you truly would bring people to mind, Lord, that you would have us to share the gospel with. Very intentional to write them down, to follow up with them, invite others to pray in this endeavor. And I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness towards us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.